You're listening to Circle of Hope Sunday Meeting Podcast. This talk was given at 3800 Marlton Pike. For more information, check out circleofhope.net or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or 7 o'clock p.m.
I was really glad when I called Kendra about this idea that she would be able to share with us at this meeting. I said, hey, will you speak at the meeting about creativity? Yes. I didn't even have to pitch it to her because she definitely has something to say. I'm glad that she wants to say it to us and to share it with us in the beautiful way that she has planned.
Hi, I'm Kendra, for those of you who don't know me. And I'm an artist. I've been making art for more than 10 years now. And I've been a Jesus follower for about like 4 or 5 years now. I've been a part of Circle of Hope. A few years ago, I used to be a part-time art teacher. And as I was sitting down to write this talk, this memory from one of my classes came to me. This was like a kid's class, and like they would take a picture of like a dinosaur or a pony, and they'd paint acrylics. It was a really fun class. But one time, before class, I overheard a parent say to her daughter, in the most encouraging and motherly way possible, and I'll frame it. And for some reason, this memory makes me cringe. It's perfectly fine to frame art and put it on the wall when it's done. That is ultimately where finished art will go. In the end, it'll be out in the open. It's meant for others to see. But it's really hard to start making art if that's your goal from the beginning. Making art requires terrible first drafts, thumbnail sketches that don't look like much, messes and mistakes, and hours of seemingly wasted time. And it's hard to confront this chaotic process in our performance-minded society. I think this is the reason why our society is somewhat unfamiliar with the real creative process. It's hard to sit at your desk and make terrible work, which is what you need to do to get to good work, when your inner dialogue is asking, is it worth framing and hanging in the kitchen? So I'm not trying to brush off this idea as if it's like small and easy to push aside and you just sit down and you just go, right? You like crack your finger. Oh, that really worked. You cracked your fingers and you just like whoosh, magic. Like that's not what happens. I think this cuts really deep. It certainly gets to me. To me, making art, trying to live an art-making life while ignoring the question, is what I'm making worthy, is really, really hard. If you've ever had that moment when you're about to do something and you're editing before you even start, then you know what I'm talking about. This is the place that I'm talking about. It's a sacred place where messes need to happen. I wrestled with these preemptive doubts myself, and I think the only way out was my relationship with God. Before I became a Jesus follower, I was in art school, and art was the center of my life. I went to the Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts in Philadelphia. It's the oldest art school in the country. This is kind of a blurry picture of their cast hall, where students go to draw casts, which are just copies of sculptures. So like they have the David is at the end of the hall. You can't see it. Just to draw pictures and copies from. It's the oldest art school in the country that has all of the decorated architecture, over 200 years of history, famous dead professors, art collections, and other makings of being worthy of worship. As a student in the junior and senior years at PAFA, one must exhibit work in the student exhibition. You make work during the school year, and at the end of the year, you pick your best stuff, frame it, and put it in the show. The student exhibition attracts art collectors, gallery owners, and the generally well-off. And in congruence with the show are a series of art prizes, which include money and travel scholarships. When I was in art school, the anxiety of the student exhibition began at the beginning of the school year. When I sat down to make work, in the back of my mind was the show. My professors tried to encourage me to explore as much as possible in my art. They kept telling me that this was the benefit of being in school, to make tons of crazy stuff and have a community to help you distill it. But this was hard to do with the looming pressure of the show. when the time was upon us to submit our work as students to the art prizes, we were intensely trying to finish paintings, and literally normal conversation had ceased and was replaced by, well, which prize did you submit to? I submitted all of my art to every prize that I could and only ever won one prize, and it was for animal drawing. I submitted a handful of drawings that came from my animal drawing class. I know it sounds like I went to Hogwarts. They would literally, this is a cool picture that I like. They would literally bring the horse into the cast hall and bring it into one of the classrooms and we would draw it. It was super cool. But these drawings, they didn't come from my heart. They came from a classroom, not my personal studio. The students who had won the prizes and travel scholarships were incredible. These paintings, oh my God, they had it all. They were moving, they were emotional, engaging compositions, masterful control of color. They had vision, they had identity. And I can't begin to tell you how insecure this experience made me. I felt so far behind. These students were so much further along in their artistic development than I was. I grieved while comparing my work to theirs, which was so hard not to, seeing it all hanging in the same room. I stared closely at the paint and could not figure out how they had done it. There was no doubt in my mind that I had ran the race and lost. To this day, I feel behind. When I'm at my lowest, I begin my list of reasons why I'm not where I should be. This list usually begins in early childhood experiences, moves to my environment and influences, and the many other uncontrollable facets of how someone gets to where they're at, all of which I fall short in, so that way I feel thoroughly defeated. I have no way of getting out from under myself. It's so hard to create in this place. Here's a drawing, I can't believe I'm doing this, from my senior show, which I think perfectly illustrates where I was coming from. Grabbing at something while being completely stuck where it was at and just trying desperately to break through. What I needed to do was to keep going and to keep trying. I needed to keep showing up to my studio and make work. But to do that, to get in front of the easel every day, became almost impossible when all I could think about was the final product. As I was sketching and developing ideas, I would ask, is this prize worthy? Will this finally be my breakthrough piece? I started attending Circle of Hope, interestingly enough, through an art show. A friend of mine suggested being a part of the group show that Circle was hosting. And after showing, even selling some work and making new friends, I started to attend the 7 p.m. meeting at the South Broad congregation. I remember walking in and finding the people who had purchased my work. I didn't feel like a stranger. I felt so welcomed and visible by these people. These meetings were really vital to me. This is before I was a Christian. Gave me something to chew on the following week. Singing together, praying together, talking about the big questions together. And after a few months of attending, I got involved in a cell. I really think cell groups are often the place that I see Jesus in other people. Over time, I felt like I was being recognized and known and understood in my cell. I got to tell my stories over and over again, and I got to be loved by the people around me. This was far more effective than trying to be loved by my art. I would pour my emotions onto the page when I was drawing and be dissatisfied with what I saw. Every piece felt like a redefining of myself. Every drawing had to be like a showcase of my identity and pain. I think I just desperately wanted to be known. And after slowly, very slowly, so over the course of years, I accepted a relationship with a loving God, and the place from where I got self-worth started to shift from art onto God. He lets me know that even if I fail at this art-making thing, it's okay. Even if I ruin my own name with my crappy art, I'll still be loved in the end. That myself was not predicated on making at all. and that my worth is not placed on how well I perform in the art world. This is a huge relief and a huge challenge because I still want to be good at what I do. I still desire recognition. Competition isn't a bad thing, I don't think, but sometimes we need to push that thought aside for a while so we can sit down to work and figure out why we sit down in the first place. When the goal to be a great artist is taken out of the equation, I sit down to work and find that the act of creating has its own rewards. I'm able to fall in love with the things I enjoy about art making before the speeding tractor trailer comes at me with questions. Well, what value does it have? Will it sell? Does it make great art? Is it worthy to be in a museum with the masters where it'll live forever? This is all just a bunch of chatter that can be watered down to the singular question, will I be loved and known for this? And when it comes to art, the answer is no. I mean, not really. To make art with the hope that it will love you back does not work. You might get recognition and temporary praise for your art, but art will not love and take care of one's baby self that walks within us all, looking to be comforted in those traumatized places. When I feel loved and known at the beginning of the art-making process, I find myself having the reserve to create something for others to join in on and have their own experience. In our last season of Lent, I got to make these stamps. They're actually hanging on the wall over the gift box, giving box, if you want to check them out. And this is something that I think my old academic self would have never done. This is a no-no at PAFA. And yet, I really like them. And it was a great experience to have other people use the stamps. That is the joy of art, that someone can create a thing and people can engage with it and have a place for their own emotional experience. It's so cool. Being in a relationship with Jesus helps me to not wear my heart on my sleeve so much. To feel as though with every piece I make is a diamond-hard emotional rock that I've unearthed. I'm not saying that you shouldn't make art from an emotional place. You definitely should. Your stories and experiences are yours to tell. But the final product is not going to be a source of love. I'm sorry. I used to feel that if someone who looked at my work wasn't seeing me, that it was a failure, and I was left feeling even more unknown. The system of putting your self-worth on what you make is not a good one if you're hurt and needy like I am. But while praying to God, I feel known, and I feel free to explore and make different types of work. I can meander in my art life and make a variety of things without feeling like my identity is being misrepresented. I'm currently working on a book that's been created by a series of monoprints, Photoshop, and stamps. And if you understood any of those three words, congratulations. I don't know. If you want to ask me about it, I'll tell you about it after the meeting. I don't know where this book is going. And its somewhat juvenile appearance is unsettling to my academic training, but I've been having so much fun making this book. I'm trying desperately to follow the scent of this trail, but it's so hard to keep going without having any idea where it'll end up. I'm trying to trust that God is holding on to my true identity while I make this book. My faith also helps me to be less of a perfectionist. In her book, Bird by Bird, which I highly recommend for everyone to read, by Anne Lamott, she said, and I quote, "I think perfectionism is based on the obsessive belief that if you run carefully enough, hitting each stepping stone just right, you won't have to die." End quote. I recently told my therapist my fears about having a show. I have a bunch of old work. It's piled up in my house right now, framed and sealed, fermenting in the dark. I want it out of my house, but it's not my best stuff, and it's old. I'm kind of ashamed of it, There's problems in every piece. The work is just not where I want it to be. I look at it and think, this is not who I wanted to be. I wanted to be better than this. Jesus is with me now, but I still have these feelings. My therapist then gently told me that to allow people to buy the art that I'm ashamed of, to let them purchase my shame, is the exact definition of redemption. To be truly disappointed by a part of yourself and to recognize that Jesus knows this about you and wants you anyway is to experience God's grace. What a revelation that my therapist gifted to me from God. I'm trying to hold on to the airy feeling I get from this thought, bite my lip, and show the work. I think the process of creating has something to teach all of us. It certainly taught me a lot. When I know I'll be loved, even when I make crappy work, I'm able to get started. I'm free to start, and I'm free to be terrible at it. And like I said, making bad work is what I need to do to get to better work. That is the key. That's the big secret. So before I finish, I want to encourage you all to make something. It really doesn't matter what it is. It could be making a piece of furniture for your house, cooking a meal, or sewing a quilt, or writing a letter. If you have the desire to make something and you don't even know what it is, here's my advice to you. Find something that you love and then try to make one of your own. If you love Frank Sinatra, try to write a romantic ballad. Just start humming a melody. Try to turn it into a song. If you love a good mystery novel, try to write a thrilling short story. Who would your characters be? Where would they go at night? If you love homemade chili, try to build your very own recipe. Use your favorite spices, find the flavors that you love. You get what I'm saying. And when you start, it's going to be bad, and that's going to be hard. It's not going to be as good as you'd hoped. And that's okay, because you'll learn that you actually made it through the hardest part, and that is starting something at all.
Thanks for listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. If you want to talk about it or get connected to a cell, you can find one under our Connect dropdown at circleofhope.net.